This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard Vinneberg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 231 for the week starting 19 August 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. WhatsApp the show on 071-999-1111.
On Talk Central this week, a preview of NVIDIA's big keynote on Monday.
Can't wait for that. Also this week, DStv and the SABC have a new deal. A new zero-rated WhatsApp rival launched in South Africa. And Tencent's earnings miss.
It's Sunday. It's 1 p.m. We're live on techcentral.co.za and it's time to talk everything tech.
Oh, welcome to the show. How's it, Rehat?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Shall we dive straight in with our quiz?
I think let's do that. First question. NVIDIA is launching a new flagship gaming graphics card this Monday. What is it strongly rumored to be called?
And Tesla CEO Elon Musk had a tearful interview with which US publication this week that caused the company's shares to fall sharply?
Third question. Naspers has invested in which US mobile-based classifieds platform?
And Apple is believed to be releasing 3 iPhone models this year. What will their screen sizes be, according to multiple reports in recent times?
More iPhones, wow. Fox is shutting his Johannesburg data center and moving to which of the company's facilities in the East Rand?
And as always, we'll get to the answers to the quiz at the end of the show. I just saw something very funny on Facebook, by the way, which I really want to share if I can find it. Don't you hate it when Facebook, you reopen it and it refreshes the feed and you can't find what you're looking for. Yeah. So I just saw this post by Alistair Otter. I'm sure he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, but I found this very funny. So he says, so the day comes when you know you need to have the talk with your teenager. You've been putting it off and you know you can't any longer. You prepare by gathering your facts and collecting relevant literature. You wait for the right moment and you sit the teenager down. You start by explaining the risks in not taking precautions. You list the various ways risky behavior could cause not only embarrassment but also potentially life-changing consequences. It all goes well, and so you finish off by offering to help them set up their first VPN. That appeals to my sense of humor.
Oh, brilliant.
Remember, you can WhatsApp the show, 071-999-1111. We have a voice note today, and this is from Iora. I'm just going to play it quickly. It's a little quiet, Rehat, so I hope you can hear it. Alright, let's listen.
Hello, Duncan. Rehat. It's Iora speaking. It's funny you guys were talking about the Note 9 launch, but no one really spoke about the watch and the little speaker that came with the launch. Sad, really, that Samsung accessories are not really a thing. But nonetheless, my question is in regards to esports. Do you guys see esports surpassing live sports anywhere in the future? Because, I mean, esports gaming is big with the millennials and whatnot. But the rugbys and the soccers and the tennises are of old legacy guys like myself, but I'm actually just 30. But nonetheless, that's not the point. I know you guys don't speak much about esports, but just a question for you guys to think about.
Yeah, esports. I've always wondered whether esports should be considered an actual sport. I suppose it has been. It is increasingly becoming seen as such. It's not something I'm really an expert in. When I go to the annual Rage conference at the Dome here in Johannesburg every year, it's huge, and there's big money behind esports. I don't know if you have a view, Rehat.
I'm a fan. It's just it's kind of slowly progressing as a spectator sport. So these events, Rush and Rage. You know, Rush was the first proper esports event where anybody could, there was ways for anybody to kind of get the team in if they did the preliminaries.
Yeah.
So it's certainly growing within the kind of the gaming community without a doubt. And I know of a lot of people that's got teams together, you know, a few mates, and they play competitively, or they try and play competitively online within various tournaments, or they just play together as a clan and play online games. So it's the mainstream adoption, I think. It's obviously big talk amongst the millennials, like the WhatsApp message said. But it's just a matter of time before we're going to start seeing it on TV. Super Sport's going to probably be, I'm sure they've already, or they have already done certain tournaments.
They have indeed. But
you know, again, content on that platform just gets consumed on Twitch and those platforms. So, and if you look at the numbers there, even out of South Africa, the amount of guys streaming the games, it's huge.
That's true. The guys who are into this sort of stuff are the guys who've got the broadband and they watch the stuff online. So is there really a role for a traditional broadcaster like DSTV to be carrying the stuff on the Super Sport channels?
Well, yes, because they can sell advertising to it, right? And they'll probably be able to reach a different audience. I mean, imagine sitting in a pub one day and seeing esports being played on the screen. I mean, it's only a matter of time before that's going to happen.
I must say, I'd much rather watch esports than watch 5-day cricket.
Yeah. Look, I've been watching a lot of gaming online. It's for numerous reasons, you know, whether it's trying to get better at a game and see how the pros are playing it, or some guys have very good entertainment value around their streams.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's entertainment and a bit of sport, and that's what makes it so versatile.
Yeah.
I think we'll be talking a lot more about it in the future, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your message, Iwari. And you're right, we didn't really talk much about the new Samsung Galaxy Watch that was launched alongside the Note 9. I haven't had a chance to look at it at all yet. Hopefully we'll get one in and have a play around with it at some point. Smartwatches are not something that terribly excite me, certainly not the ones from the traditional cell phone companies. I really like sports watches from the likes of Garmin, and I find those highly versatile, but I feel no desire whatsoever to buy an Apple Watch or a Samsung Watch. I don't know about you, Rachid.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't wear a watch. I mean, it doesn't really excite me. I guess once we get it in the country and we start playing with it, then we'll have that conversation. But from a launch point of view, it definitely wasn't the hottest thing that they announced. I mean, the phone was that thing.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get into this week's news, and it's not really news yet, but it is going to be news tomorrow. So I thought let's talk about it. Nvidia is having a big keynote address. I think it's at 5 o'clock South African time tomorrow, at which they are expected to take the wraps off the successor to the GeForce 1080 Ti and 1080 graphics cards. It's strongly rumored.
Or one Bitcoin, that's what it's also called. It's the value of one Bitcoin, right?
Right. See, I think it might be a bit more than that, actually, given the current Bitcoin price. Actually, no, I'm thinking dollars. I'm thinking rands, not dollars. If it's the same as Bitcoin, it's going to be the most expensive gaming graphics card in history, but I don't think it's going to be quite that much.
No, for sure, no, it won't be.
But it's called the, strongly rumored through Nvidia's own YouTube sort of hyping of this event that it's going to be called the GeForce RTX, not a GTX, RTX 2080. Presumably there's going to be a 2080 Ti model and probably a 2070 and a 2060 and a 2050 like there is with the current lineup of Nvidia graphics cards. But this may be, and I use the word may deliberately, a big leap forward in graphics card design and technology and what it's going to do for gaming. You've had a look at this, Rachid. It's introducing something called ray tracing technology. What is that exactly, and what is it going to mean for gamers?
Well, let me just first correct you there. I think it's already what they've launched, because last week they did at an event called SIGGRAPH, they announced the workstation or the kind of the high end version of the card. That's not for gamers. That's for production houses,
for architects, so and video companies.
Specifically, the guys making movies.
Right.
And it's well worth checking out the SIGGRAPH 2018 keynote by NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. It's actually a very entertaining keynote.
I watched it.
Well worth checking
out. I watched it. Very funny. When he was walking around the stage showing off and it was reflecting the light from the...
Exactly.
And then he was going... he's a real character, isn't he? He was saying something along the lines of, I'm the first CEO that's ever had the chance to say Giga Rays on stage.
Exactly. That was so funny. But to answer your question, so traditional graphics, and the reason why this is a leap forward, so RTX obviously means ray tracing. tracing technology. So ray tracing is something that's – the technology has been around, but for people that create video and render CGI and that kind of thing, like the guys that make – like Pixar and those guys, ray tracing was never really something that you could do realistically in real time. It produced the best quality in terms of, you know, how light bounces off subjects and how light gets perceived in your models. But it took so long because the technology, it wasn't there to properly program to properly render it.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional rendering process we used was rasterization for the longest time, and that's the mesh objects you see in many old how they made the animations. It's you basically produce your image on these on this mesh 3D scale that the computer then does its mathematics on to predict where the light needs to fall. That kind of thing was a lot quicker to render, but the quality wasn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the first time, or now, NVIDIA has built in ray tracing specific GPU into the GPU,
mm-hmm.
making it basically a lot faster for real time ray tracing rendering. So if you can imagine any, like a Star Wars, and they actually had a very good Star Wars demo in the keynote.
I saw that.
And that was rendered real time and using obviously ray tracing. So when an object moves around, you also had a demo with a Porsche vehicle. If you look at, and this thing is rendered in real time. So this isn't pre-rendered and then played back. So you can make a change to a model and then play it back. And like you would do with normal video editing, for example, when you apply a setting, it would be there. It would be able to then be part of the scene, and any light that needs to be affected by it or as a result of the change will then immediately be adapted, which is pretty impressive.
So what is this going to mean for gaming? What will how different will games look as a result of this technology?
So obviously this will filter down in gaming technology into the gaming section because of the way that game developers produce games. It's very similar to CGI movies these days. And the better you can have that render, the more photorealistic your games will look. Or it'll be able to it'll be able to do something more intricate within the scene. So it's just got a lot more processing power behind it. A really interesting stat that the NVIDIA CEO mentioned on stage was that these new cores are able to produce or able to calculate 10 gigarays per second compared to the current fastest CPU in the world, which can do only a few hundred thousand.
Hmm.
Now, a gigaray is a billion light ray calculations. So if you can imagine calculating a scene, figuring out where the light, because light is everything, right? What we see, what our eye sees is light bouncing off something.
Yeah.
So this is really going to produce photorealistic computer imagery, and the guys will be and the designers will be able to do so in real time. For gamers, it'll mean much better quality gaming. So if you imagine running through a city in GTA, a photorealistic city will now be possible. So when you're running through or driving through, light bouncing off buildings if the sun is low over the ocean, I mean, you'll be able to now play with those realistic effects, which is very exciting stuff.
I know some games have, and I'm no expert on the subject, but I know some games have something called volumetric god rays, which are really those effects as you're walking through a forest, for example, where the sunlight is coming through the leaves and onto the ground. I know that... latest Elder Scrolls game.
Skyrim,
used it quite extensively. And I'd imagine that this technology is just going to take that to the next level.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you'll be able to basically, your models or whatever your engine is will now be able to just process so much more information. In real time, too. So as soon as you make a change to it, you'll be able to see that. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And this is where the power of gaming comes in. So, because in gaming, it's very dynamic. As you move, the world does adapt to your movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you can interpret that in so many ways within gaming.
Yeah.
We're in for a very exciting time. And I'd be interested to see if the blockchain technology is going to be making use of the extra processing power or the extra, the architecture in this.
Well, that's really interesting because he said in his keynote that, it wasn't in the keynote. It was in NVIDIA's results, I think, which came out during the course of this week. They said that the demand from crypto miners has fallen off a cliff, and they're expecting zero demand from crypto miners going forward.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very, very interesting.
That's very interesting.
So maybe, just maybe, these things, this RTX 2080 will actually be in stores.
Yeah, and at not to an expensive price. So look, it'll be interesting to see the adoption from gamers. Obviously, we're going to need to wait for the gaming technology to now introduce, the technology. Well, make full use of this graphics card. Otherwise, you're just going to be still running previous gen technology.
Yeah, quite well.
Exactly. But they'll probably we'll see tomorrow. But there's probably going to be launch titles.
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there will be.
Maybe something like Red Dead Redemption, which is a big title coming up. That would be nice to see.
That's not coming to PC though, unfortunately.
Well, I heard rumors that it will. Yeah. So we'll see.
Maybe they'll make it nice, but then. Yeah, be nice.
Maybe. But look, there are so many amazing games out there that could, if the developers patch. did include a patch for it. Because, I mean, why else would you want to buy a card if there's not nothing that you can, really exploit in the game?
Yeah.
The RTX 2018 will make use of it. It won't be as powerful as the, I'm trying to, what was that, the other models?
The ones they announced last week.
Yes, the RTX, the Quadro RTX 8000 and the RTX 6000. Those are more like the workstation cards that's got.
Did you see the prices on those?
The high end, yeah.
I think the most expensive one was $10,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, I'm looking forward to seeing the YouTube videos where some of the guys are going to try and, use those four games.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you'll be able to do some interesting things with some hacks. But, it's not feasible for the average Joe like us. But, yeah, the Quadro RTX 8000 has got 48 gigabytes of memory for $10,000. But, I mean, if you look at that demo that they showed at the Star Wars demo, and it's well worth checking out if you haven't seen it. But if you go check out the demo that they rendered, the Star Wars animation, that was done on one card.
Very
which
impressive.
Is crazy. So one workstation in a design studio or an animation studio can now, do so much more, probably save a lot of time, save a lot of money. It's going to be a massive help to the industry.
Yeah.
And we've got some local players in that industry too. So, it's going to be good all around to see what people do with it.
Yeah. I'll probably take a bit of a wait and see attitude on this new card. So I've recently upgraded to a 1080 Ti. Which plays just about anything I throw at it in 4K very, very well. I'll adopt a wait and see until there's a big game that comes out that would justify the upgrade.
Yeah, it produces it, yeah.
Because this thing ain't going to be cheap.
Look, I'll definitely get my hands on a review unit as soon as they land in the country, and then we'll have the conversation again. But I agree with you. I've got a 1070 Ti, and to be honest with you, value for money, that's still my favorite card.
Yeah.
I play everything on max resolution. I don't have a screen the size of yours, so, I can't compare it quite like for like. But to be honest with you, for most people's use, a 1070 is great value for money.
For full HD gaming at 1080p, it's absolutely perfect. I think it's when you start to push into 4K and start to maximize on the settings that you need it. I think the 1080 Ti does struggle a bit on some titles and with every setting maxed out. I suspect that this new card will handle all of that in its stride at 4K.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be exciting to see.
But I look forward to it. The keynote is tomorrow, 5 p.m. South African time, and it's almost certainly going to be called the GeForce RTX 2080. And there'll no doubt be value models as well on RTX 1070, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Similar to before.
And then let's not forget the beautiful benefit of pricing dropping across the board for the new range. So the 1080s will become cheaper without that. The 1070s will become cheaper.
Yes.
So it might be good to keep an eye on the next few months for upgrade specials.
Yeah. Let's just hope the Bitcoin price doesn't triple in the next few months. Otherwise, all the miners are going to be back. But for now, it's looking good to get stock of this product into the country.
It's also because all the miners have gone to browser-based mining. So all those beautiful websites you visit with built-in mining, that's where they're offloading all their processing requirements to.
You've been visiting those porn sites again, Richard.
No, in fact not. It's the streaming services for all the animations we don't get in South Africa.
Now, I know those BitTorrent services have started doing that. I've completely stopped using BitTorrent. It's just a nightmare. With Netflix and Showmax and Amazon and all
there's
the rest.
There's no reason to download
There's no reason
anything
to
anymore.
Pirate anything anymore. There's so much content out there, I just can't keep up.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and the software is dodgy. This peer-to-peer software is pretty dodgy.
Look, torrenting, the technology is still sound. I mean, I do still use it for legitimate stuff when I need to download large files. There's some amazing open source content out there, and I don't mean it tongue-in-cheek. So uTorrent as an app is still fantastic, and we are digressing here a bit, but sure. You know, I wouldn't blame the technology for dodgy websites, you know.
Yeah, uTorrent is the one I stopped using because I was getting a bit suspicious about it. I moved to something, I don't use it anymore, but I moved to something called qBitTorrent. Which is basically an open source freeware version of uTorrent, without any potentially dodgy software built into it. The code is completely open source, and the last time I used it anyway, it worked really well, qBitTorrent.
Mm. I must go check it out. Mm.
So tomorrow, 5 o'clock, I shall be in front of my computer watching that keynote, looking forward to seeing the announcements and some of the demo videos and some of the games that are coming. But quite exciting in news, I suspect, in the gaming world. Is AMD Slur a big thing out there in the graphics, in the GPU world?
They are a thing. They're not a big thing. I actually was going to mention it earlier, and I lost the link now. There is a rumored new card from them coming out. That's obviously also, you know, just stepping things up a notch.
Yeah.
On the workstation side. So, but yeah, to be honest with you, you know, they're not. Yeah. If I was going to spend my money, I'll still go with Nvidia. Just have a. Mm. Yeah, I guess just better overall performance for value for money.
They do seem to be killing it. Yeah. They do seem to be killing it. And their share price of NVIDIA's is quite remarkable. They're worth more than IBM.
Mm. Yeah, that is crazy. But I mean, if you look, we were talking a lot about CGI. The reason why they're going ray tracing and the reason why they're investing in this technology and their Turing platform, which is really what's addressing the need for production houses. You know, Hollywood is driving lots of money in tech.
Yeah.
Whether it's just tech that you use, like drone technology, or whether it's actual, you know, computer processing technology. There's a big demand for being able to do CGI on the fly, and the quicker you can do it, and the better you can do it. Obviously, you know, there's more money to be spent in that industry. So animation has always been a big thing, but I think we're going to see some really interesting things, and the business around it is going to be booming. Mm.
CGI used to be, I mean, high-end CGI used to be the domain of big Hollywood movies only, but increasingly on Netflix, for example, I'm seeing TV series that are making use of very advanced CGI. I'm a big fan of a TV show, Peaky Blinders. I don't know if you've seen that show.
Yes, love it.
And the use of CGI to recreate Birmingham from the 1920s or whenever it was, with those smokestacks and that sort of coal polluted streets. You can see a lot of that is computer generated, but it's so well done. It looks like the real thing.
Now imagine if that technology, with your high-end computer, you know, maybe you have to spend more to get the proper graphics card, but if with your high-end computer, if you'd be able to do those kind of renders with the right software, with the right know-how, now, you know, movie makers on any budget can really push the boundaries of what they can do. And that's, I think, the exciting thing, just technology in general becoming more accessible and affordable and more powerful. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. And it's incredible how much RAM, video RAM they're putting into these cards now. I think the last generation was 11 gigabytes on the 1080 Ti, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're pushing 15, 16 gig on the model that's being announced tomorrow.
Oh yes. Yeah, I know. I'm most excited about seeing the titles. What are the titles that's going? Because they're probably going to be announcing a new game or doing something with a really hot existing title.
You can be absolutely sure they're working with publishers to have games at launch or in time for the launch, whenever that is. We don't know when these are actually going to be in store.
Yeah. But look, this is game launch season too, so it makes sense to be partnered to, you know, with one of the big AAA titles to be doing something really exciting.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just trying to think what games are coming up. The one I'm looking for is Just Cause 4, which has tornadoes in it, which sounds really cool.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be interesting.
But I don't follow the space that closely, so I know there are definitely big titles coming before the end of the year. I'm really hoping I hope you're right. Maybe there's an announcement around Red Dead Redemption coming to PC.
Look, Rock, they would be, I mean, that franchise is so big, they would really be silly to keep it confined to a platform space.
Yeah.
But if you look at what Xbox is doing, the Xbox One, and how close, you know, if you look at the game engine, what you can do with it now, you know, there's not a big difference between the Xbox AAA, Xbox One AAA title and a PC title in terms of what's required to run it. So yeah. Porting it, I don't think is a big of a deal it used to once be. So yeah, it's going to be.
So maybe, but good. Rockstar has always been a bit reluctant on PC. GTA 5, I think, only came out two years after the original version, and the original Red Dead Redemption never came to PC.
And now, but now it's massive. GTA is still one of the biggest games on PC.
Yeah, you're going
one of the broadest games.
You're going to Steam and look at that bestsellers list in Steam, and it's always in the top 10. I think they've recently dropped the price, but it's still like a $500 game or something, and it's constantly in the top 10. I'd love to see some updated sales numbers on GTA 5. That must be the biggest selling game in history.
Also if you look at the amount of money that people spend in game, you know, a lot of guys make money from in-game transactions these days.
Yeah.
And, it's a massive economy.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, for sure. So 071-999-1111, send us a WhatsApp and let us know whether you plan to upgrade to the GeForce RTX, I keep saying GTX, RTX 2080, what would stop you from getting it? 071-999-1111, let us know your thoughts.
What would be a good price for that? I reckon it's probably going to land at about 15 or 16,000. It'll need to be like a jump up from what's out there currently.
Well, that's about the price of a 1080 Ti now, I think, round about that.
I thought they came down a bit. Wow, they're still sitting at that price.
I think so. In fact, they went up to about 18,000 when we had the graphics card shortage. And of course, the Rand has weakened significantly. So who knows? Maybe we're going to see a 20 grand graphics card.
Then, you know, one graphics card and one iPhone, you're down 40,000 Rand. I mean, that's not nice, is it?
No, it's not cheap being a gamer, PC gamer.
Yeah, I'm just quickly looking at the latest pricing. It seems you can get a 1080 Ti for 12,000 right now.
Oh, the price has come down then. Okay.
So you still do get the models that are more expensive. There's the Aorus by Gigabyte is still at 15,500, but so that's obviously got some overclocked features built in. The EVGA one, but that might be imported. Yeah, so I mean the prices have definitely dropped.
EVGA is a great brand.
Yeah, it is. But this model, this one that I'm looking at, is definitely import because it's 18,000 Rand.
Right. So shop around is the message. But you might get some good deals with the RTX 2080 coming out, the price of these.
I've already seen some good deals, yeah, online. EVTEC, you get a SSD free with a VGA card purchase, with some in like the 1070, which is a very good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you save about $2,000 or $3,000 there,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Cool. Speaking of good deals, I don't know if you saw this news this week, Richard, about this new messaging service, South African developed messaging platform for Android called Moya Messenger. It's interesting. It's very similar to WhatsApp, but the selling point is that data is zero rated when you use it, so you can send messages completely free of charge. Now, there is a caveat here, a big one. It does not include sending and receiving images and video and audio. It's only for text-based messages.
Interesting.
Which is free. And they do this through reverse billing with the big four operators, Telkom, Cell C, Vodacom, MTN. And apparently you don't even have to have an airtime or data balance in order to use it and to send messages. That sounds very, very compelling.
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's so many situations where, you know, just having plain text available to you for free, I think it could be a massive help, you know, especially for a lot of families that can't afford simple messaging even, you know, just being able to stay in contact by a text. This is fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who simply, you know, they use up their prepaid data and then they don't have any until they go to the shop and recharge, or perhaps they just don't have the money to recharge. So this could provide an essential means of communication. I fired it up on my phone and had a look at it, and not a single one of my contacts was using it either. I must have another look. But they're going to face the same challenge that any company taking on WhatsApp is going to have, and that's actually just getting subscribers onto the platform. Whether offering free text-based chat or zero-rated text-based chat is enough to do that, we'll have to wait and see. But WhatsApp is now so entrenched in the South African market, everyone has it.
Yeah, definitely. But look, I do see, I mean, if it's free, I would imagine that, you know, a family would set it up to just to chat between themselves, because now it's just an alternative. They might still use WhatsApp for everything else, but or for certain chats to friends that's got that platform.
Yeah.
But if a family can communicate for free. Look, there's also, don't some of the other operators still have plans where you get WhatsApp for free or WhatsApp zero rated?
I think so. Well, they do. It's not free. The plan isn't free, though. You have to pay something like $5 or $10 a month. Or
and then you get that.
MTN is $30 a month, I think. So it's not free. So this is the idea behind Moya Messenger, is it's completely free. You don't have to buy a bundle at all.
So where do they make money? How do they survive as a business then?
They sell advertising onto the platform.
Oh, I see. Okay. That makes sense.
And I think they charge companies to target their users. So once again, if a product's free, it means you're the product.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, anything that you can, you know, get value, I can see lots of value in this, you know, especially if you want to chat, if you want to communicate for free. I'm not talking having long, not saying having long conversations, but staying in touch, you know, where are you, what time are you going to be home? These kind of conversations,
yes,
especially in households where airtime is of a premium or is scarce. Yeah, this is a nice thing to look into. I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, have a look at it, install it, and send me a message, see if it comes through. Because I had no one on it to test this week, because there was none of my contacts were using it.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's Moya Messenger. We'll include a link to that on the webs in the show notes to this week's show. At that point, though, I think we need to take a quick ad break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you a search engine? Because you found me.
I feel we have a strong connection.
Well, you're pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Should we drop it like a hotspot and head back to yours so we can show Max and snuggle? Let's get giga with it.
But I don't have fiber. Don't get caught in 50 shades of delay. Broadband your horizons and switch to Vox's super fast, super reliable fiber network. Experience the momentum. Connect your world. Visit us at vox.co.za/fiber.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Well, welcome back to the show. How's it, Rehat?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thanks. So DSTV and MultiChoice have renewed their channel supply agreement. This is a complex, there's a complex backstory to this thing. Their first contract they signed was 5 years ago. And MultiChoice was variously accused of stealing the SABC's archives and of forcing the SABC into a position where they would not carry their free-to-air channels on an encrypted platform. I'm not going to repeat all the history because I think many people listening to the show know it. But it was a highly disputed contract, and there's no doubt that MultiChoice exerted enormous pressure on the SABC over their commercial battle with ETV to try to stop the encryption of terrestrial television in South Africa. I think that encryption of free-to-air terrestrial television was a bad idea, but I think MultiChoice really used their strong position in the market to really try and bully a competitor into agreeing to a position in a commercial contract which had really nothing to do with encryption. So that contract was very heavily scrutinized, including in Parliament. Now they've renewed it, and the SABC has made it clear that the new contract is in quote marks clean, that there's nothing dodgy in it. They haven't said how long the contract has been renewed for. I suspect it's at least another 5 years. And this is for the supply of two channels to DSTV by the SABC. That's SABC News, the 24-hour news channel, and SABC Encore, which apparently, I haven't seen it, but apparently it's all the old shows from the SABC from back in the day, old soap operas and Afrikaans shows and stuff, which DSTV will carry on its platform, continue to carry on its platform for the foreseeable future. That deal was very controversial. It was negotiated and signed by Claudio Motsoeneng, who is no longer at the SABC, thank goodness. I'm not sure there's too much more to say on that without delving into a great deal of history about this contract and the fight between ETV and MultiChoice over encryption, which we've been over so many times on this podcast. So maybe we should just move on to our next news item.
Swiftly.
Moving swiftly along. Tencent put out earnings this week that missed analysts' forecasts, and the share price took a smack along with Naspers, of course, which owns 31.2% of Tencent. And it is starting to show that operating in China is not necessarily the easiest thing, even if you're a company of Tencent's size. The main earnings miss seems to be related to the fact that the Chinese government, Chinese censors, have stopped it from launching major titles in that market on desktop, including PUBG. On desktop, basically the Chinese have said you can't launch this. I can't remember the reasons. I think it had to do with violence in the game. They were insisting that they somehow toned down the violence in PUBG to make it look more animated and comical, so that it could pass the censors.
Really?
Silly. That was my thought as well. You know, it shows you the difficulty of operating in a market that's not really free, and where the vagaries of the Communist Party government can have a very real impact on your earnings. And again,
for sure. But if you get
it, yeah, sorry,
sorry, go for it. No, but if you do have a product that it hits in China, that's a big hit. Then you could, you know, then you make lots of money, and as a business, you'll be very well off. So, at which point do you give in to those kind of demands or requests?
Yeah, I suppose it's the same discussion that Google is now having. They walked away from the Chinese market 10 years ago and are now reportedly looking at launching a search engine there again. And that is causing all sorts of consternation at Google head office, where apparently many, many employees are very unhappy about Google going back into that market and complying with Chinese censorship.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be.
It is, for sure. And once again, I suppose just emphasizes the point that Naspers needs to broaden its earnings base away from Tencent, which just dominates its market capitalization. I had a very interesting chat this week, by the way, with Bob van Dijk and Alec Oxenford, respectively the group CEO of Naspers and the founder, co-founder of Letgo, which is a massive, massive mobile-based payments platform in the U.S. Naspers has just invested $500 million into Letgo. Alex Oxenford was also co-founder of OLX, which is now a Naspers business. A very interesting business, Letgo, and I'd highly recommend going to have a listen to that podcast if you haven't heard it yet. And I'm very pleased to say we have another podcast with the Naspers CEO, Bob van Dijk, lined up for later this week.
Fantastic.
We are going to be talking broader Naspers strategy and where the company's going. What its investment criteria is when it comes to new investments, the overall group strategy. So I'm really looking forward to that podcast. It'll be out towards the end of this week. And that, Rehart, I think is our news this week. Shall we move on to our regular features?
Yeah, indeed.
What's your pick? No, I'm going to do winner and loser first. Always getting ahead of myself. Well, the winner this week is Adapt IT. They put out quite strong results despite the weak economy. Organic growth up 13%. I think with acquisitions they grew at 36%. That's pretty solid performance, especially given the weak state of the South African market. They're a consistent performer. Their share price has been under huge pressure in the last year. This company itself saying, the CEO, Sibu Tshabalala, saying that they've been buying back shares because they believe the share price is grossly undervalued. But they've been a consistent performer over the years, a mix of organic and acquisitive growth. The share price did bounce a bit on the numbers, though it's still very weak. Consistent performer. So I thought we should make Adapt IT and also its CEO, Sibu Tshabalala, our winners this week. And our loser is Tencent for the reasons we have just elaborated on. What's your pick, Rehart?
So, in the spirit of PUBG, I've been playing with a new phone this week called the Razer phone. Now, if this doesn't ring a bell, Razer is a brand that produces gaming peripherals and gaming stuff. So, this, for all intents and purposes, is a gaming specific phone. And basically what they did to achieve that was produce a phone with a screen that's got a very high refresh rate. So it's got around 120 megahertz with a resolution of 4... Hertz, Hertz, sorry, Hertz, with a resolution of 1440 by 2560. Now, this is actually a very nice phone. I must be honest, I've been playing with it for about 3 days now. And it's kind of a nice departure from the phones that you're used to that's kind of targeted at a mainstream consumer market. The Razr phone is pretty square-shaped and it's got quite hard edges. So, I mean, it's obviously designed for a more kind of a robust feel in the hand, especially when you're gaming around it.
Yeah.
The screen, like I said, is really nice. Deep blacks. When you're playing mobile games like PUBG or any racing game that's out there, the refresh rate just makes the experience, it feels like you're playing a little console almost, if that makes sense, like a Nintendo Switch type of thing. You know, it's just the experience is nice. There's two speakers on the front too, so you get a really good, and normally when you hold your phone with two hands to play a game, your hands cover the speakers that are normally situated at the bottom of the phone, right? So with this phone, the speakers are front facing on the side, on the bottom and the top of the phone. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, it's, you know, you get a much better sound quality from your game. And it's powered by the Snapdragon Qualcomm 835. It's got 8 gigabytes of RAM. 8 gigabytes of RAM, yeah. So obviously it is the intended for the games that are able to push up, the capacity for that. A 4,000 milliamp hour battery, so the battery life certainly is a problem. I've been playing quite a lot of games on this, a lot of screen on time, and the battery, I mean, it's not blown me away anything more than a current really high-end smartphone. But it was really good regardless especially because it's got that screen, which without a doubt takes slightly more power than a normal screen.
Yeah.
You can upgrade the memory. There is an SD card slot, so 64 gigabyte internal storage. And you can obviously upgrade it with a micro SD card slot. Doesn't have a 3.5mm audio jack, which is quite interesting because you would imagine gamers would want to be plugged in. It's got a USB-C, but it comes with an adapter that allows you to then put in connect a 3.5mm. Obviously, you can also do
Bluetooth. Does it come with an adapter?
It comes with an adapter, yes. Okay. So that's quite a good thing. Now, in terms of the camera, it's got a 12 megapixel rear facing and 8 megapixel front facing camera. So it's all right, but it's not designed as a, you can't compare this to an iPhone or P20 Pro or anything like that. It's just not the same type of experience. This is for the person that plays a lot of mobile games and really want the best screen experience for that. Look, if you've got a current high-end phone, you'll still see, if you compare something like the iPhone X, for example, with an OLED screen or the new Samsung Note 9, you'll kind of get a similar but totally different gaming experience. What I find with this one is because of that high refresh rate, it really makes all the difference, especially with a game like PUBG where the action with a lot of people around you, or Fortnite for that matter, but Fortnite's not yet on Android. So that when Fortnite comes out, you know, there's even more reason to really appreciate a screen like this.
So what does the 120 hertz refresh actually do for the experience?
It's able to draw. It's basically able to draw on screen, a lot quicker. So it's able to produce a much smoother flow to a game. If you have a lower refresh rate, you'll probably have a slightly more jerky experience. If you turn it down completely, where with something like this, if you look at some of the computer screens now as well, where they are rated at the same 120 hertz, it gives you a much smoother. So if you compare that with high resolution, like rich colors, and you have this really smooth experience, smooth transition between each of the frames. It happens very, very quickly.
Yeah.
At that high refresh rate on your eye, it'll just feel like a much more comfortable experience.
Okay. And pricing for the phone?
You're probably going to be paying about 13,000 to 15,000 rand. I haven't received official pricing for this locally yet, but yeah, you're going to be paying around 13,000 to 15,000. I don't know if it's on any contracts. Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. But yeah, for gamers, if you're a gamer, it's certainly worth looking at. But yeah, and it's running Android 7.1, so that's Nougat.
Okay. My pick this week, Rechit, do you remember ASCII art? You don't really see it around that much anymore. But it's a real art. It's a real art form. But my pick this week is a new app. Or I'm not sure quite how old it is, but it's an Android app called ASCII Cam. And all you do is haul out your phone, take a photograph, or even just hold it up, and in real time, it'll convert the image that's going in through the camera sensor into ASCII art.
Nice.
So you can take a, it'll use the front-facing or rear-facing cameras on your Android phone. So you can hold it up and take a selfie, and it'll instantly create, take a picture in ASCII, which you can then share with your friends or post on Facebook. Quite cool. Probably not very useful.
I've just installed it. This is so awesome. This is like, that's where all that processing power goes to try and convert images into ASCII art.
But ASCII Cam for Android, it's fun to fiddle around with for a little bit.
That is very cool. So I'm using a 15,000 Rand phone with a 120 hertz refresh rate. Best gaming phone you can buy, and I'm looking at ASCII art on that screen.
But go have a look at it. It's good fun. I'm sure you'll uninstall it again after half an hour, but it is some fun. Take a picture of your dog or your cat and see how it comes out. Quite cool. And that, I think, is another show. As always, quiz results before I forget. Let me do the first one. NVIDIA is launching a new flagship gaming graphics card on Monday. What is it strongly rumored to be called? And that, of course, is the GeForce RTX 2080.
Second question. Tesla CEO Elon Musk had a tearful interview with which U.S. publication this week that caused the company's shares to fall sharply? And the answer is the New York Times.
And Nusbat has invested in which U.S. mobile-based classifieds platform? And that's Letgo.
Fourth question. Apple is believed to be releasing 3 iPhone models this year. What will their screen sizes, according to multiple reports, be? And the answer there is 5.8, 6.1, and 6.5 inches.
I'm really thinking about that 6.5-inch iPhone model. I may just
still can't believe I'm hearing this.
I still may go Apple this year. shoot me now. when I see the 35,000 Rand price tag, I might not. Vox.
That's why we got contracts, Duncan. That's how we got contracts.
Vox is shutting its Johannesburg data center and moving it to which company's facilities on the East Rand, and that is Teraco. And if you haven't, if you've missed our last few shows, you won't know that we now play out with a song pick of the week. And Rechot, it is your turn to choose one this week. What have you got?
So I thought, you know, we've been kind of hitting it hard with the classic rock over the last few weeks, and I thought I'd step things in a different direction. The artist and the song that I've chosen this week, the artist is Beth Ditto, and the song is In and Out. Now, if you hear the song and you are into indie music, you would have definitely heard of the voice would definitely be familiar to you. And she was a lead singer in a band called The Gossip. They have a few great hits, and as well worth checking them out. She's got a very powerful voice, really great beat to most of her music. It's well worth listening to the other stuff that The Gossip does and Beth Ditto.
Great. Well, this track is called In and Out. If you have any feedback before I forget, info@techcentral.co.za, or use our WhatsApp line 071-999-1111, and we may use voice notes in future episodes, unless you tell us not to, of course. And yeah. With that, from Rechot and myself, until next time, enjoy the Beth Ditto, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Ciao, ciao.